We'll go with the 18 through 25. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Thanks be to God. This is his word to us.
Amen. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Oh, goodness. Foolishness. And if I leave that battery there, that will be sheer foolishness, because I guarantee you I will find it when I walk back up there. We know, again and again, Scriptures tells us that God's wisdom, knowledge, is not like ours. Hallelujah. When he knows the innermost thoughts of our hearts, everything that's weighing down on our souls, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us before we were, he knows us as we were being formed in the womb of our mother. Talk about somebody who knows us. And Paul's writing to this church in Corinth, and we've worked with a number of his letters, and we've worked in Corinthians quite a bit. But today, the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Throughout that, Paul makes a statement and then makes another statement. That first piece, for the message about the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. If they're headed down the highway, headed their way, looking to find the larger house, the bigger boat, the more expensive tract of land, they're headed in the wrong direction if they're looking for true happiness. Because you can have the money of Bill Gates and it's not going to be enough. Who's got more money than him? I can't think of anybody. And yet still, they're looking for more. Now, I'm not saying anything bad about Bill and Linda Gates. Their funds do great work for a lot of people. So they're helping people. Money itself is not the root of evil. What is? Scripture tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. It's when we put that at the top of the pecking order. This week in the lectionary study, one of the pieces, the Old Testament reading, was from Exodus chapter 20. Any of you know what that focused on? A little thing called tablets and 10 items that were inscribed on that tablet. And what were they? The 10 commandments. The first four determine or focus on what? How we're to love God, revere God, have no other God. And the other six refer to our relationship with our brothers and sisters, whether we like to admit it or not. How many of you had brothers and sisters growing up? Did you always get along? I got so many bruises and so many bumps. Goodness gracious. Probably some of them are still showing scars. But anyway, the point is that we don't always agree. We don't always get along. But that doesn't get in the way of love. Boy, if somebody outside the family came and picked on me, my brother was right there. He'd let me fight my own battles, but he was there to make sure it stayed even. But that's what family does. Now, why am I saying the Ten Commandments? Because that, for the world, is foolish. Because it causes you to live to a standard in a time when everything's ambivalent. There is no black or white. And I mean that only in the sense of there's no right or wrong. There are shades of gray in everything. Ambivalent in that anything goes. You're willing to accept anything. That's not God. Yes, He loves each and every one of us. Yes, He wants us to come to Him. Yes, He wants us to recognize that absent His love and grace, we cannot have everlasting life. And we get it how? Not because of anything we do. The Ten Commandments were not there as a roadmap of, if you do these things, you'll be saved. If only you could. Driving down the road. Now, Terry tries to keep me on the straight and narrow. Somebody cuts me off, slides in front, doesn't give a turn signal. My thoughts are not exactly sweet. And that's just driving down a road. So, imagine trying to keep the Ten Commandments. And by that, to get into heaven. It's not going to happen. It's only by that instrument. It's only by that cross, and not the cross itself, but by Jesus Christ who was obedient to His Father and gave up His life for us. That's why what we preach is loving God. It is, yes, following the Ten Commandments as best we can, but not following the Ten Commandments and therein earning our salvation. It's to recognize that through Christ Jesus we are saved. Not by any acts or works that we've done, but because we have that debt of gratitude to God, then we do follow those other six commandments when it talks about us dealing with our brothers and sisters, not to lie, not to covet, not to steal, not to murder. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's not that it limits us, it strengthens us. It doesn't put boundaries on us, it empowers us. The Ten Commandments are a bunch of do nots. Do not do this. Do not do that. How does Jesus turn that around? Scribes and Pharisees ask Him and they say, what's the greatest of the commandments? Hoping they were going to trap Him. Rabbi, what's the greatest of commandments? And they were kind of, love thy Lord thy God. He said the first. Love thy Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy soul, all of thy mind, and thy strength. And the second is no less than these, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if that wasn't enough, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees are probably sitting back there saying, he missed a couple of them. And he says, all of the commandments are fulfilled in the doing of these. Because if you love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll never take His name in vain. You'll have no other God. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't covet. You won't lie. You won't murder. That was point one. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God that does what? That saves us, that brings us into His presence, that makes us something that we can't be. And that's made right wise. I didn't say self-righteous. I said made right wise. That means God counts us right with Him. Why? Because of His love and His power, not by anything that we've done. Now, because we are in the right relationship with God, then we should go out and do things like the mobile food pantry yesterday, the clothing, the warming tree, things of that nature. Yes, absolutely. But don't think for a second that if you give $1 million to one or seven different charitable organizations, or if you put in so many hours, that you're buying your way into heaven. No, you're not. It's not going to happen. Love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. For there is, where's the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. Oh, imagine. Okay, I want to paint you a picture. You're on Mount Sinai. There's this big cloud. You have just brought all of Egypt to its knees because you've gotten all of these slaves and carried them out of Egypt. And you crossed the Red Sea. And you saw all of Pharaoh, his troops, drowned in the Red Sea. Now you're wandering around the desert. Now you're up on this mountain and this cloud, and there's this voice talking to you. It's the same voice you heard before you left at this burning bush that never burned, wasn't consumed. It's the same voice that has told you again and again what to do. And you followed that. That's wisdom. Wisdom and true wisdom is not intellectual knowledge and brain power. It really is faith. It's believing God. Doing the wise thing is doing what God tells you to do. Not that you're going to earn salvation from it. Christ has already done that for you. But you're going to take care of your brothers and sisters, and you're going to show and demonstrate love for God. That's what He wants us to do. It's not the wisdom of the intellect. It's the wisdom of faith. Doing the things that God wants us to do, is calling us to do. The Jews demanded signs, and the Greeks desire wisdom. It's interesting that the New Revised Standard Version, this is 22, verse 22, for the Jews demanded signs, and the Greeks desire wisdom. Well, what sign would you demand of God? What miracle would you ask God to perform so that you'll believe? Not because seeing is believing, right? Now, those winds that came up, that blew in. I mean, if someone could just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, just be still. If all those winds had stopped, you know, there were some gusts that were 70 miles an hour. Go up on the bridge that crosses the Norris Bridge on the Rappahannock. Just get up there, and in the midst of the heaviest blow of the wind and the greatest banshee howling of the wind, just stand up and say, stop! Now, if somebody could do that, you'd follow them, right? The Jews were asking and seeking for miracles. Moses had performed all these miracles, but it wasn't Moses who was doing them. It was God through Moses. Jesus performed all these miracles, not to give them salvation, but to show that He could. He could have thrown down the Roman rulers at that point in time. I mean, goodness gracious, He stands in the boat, says, be still. Tells the demons, get out. Tells Lazarus, who's been dead in a tomb, rise, come out. There's 5,000 people and they're hungry. A little boy shows up with his lunch. How far is that going to go? I mean, it's not even a Happy Meal. Not even a Big Mac. Not a quarter pounder. And He feeds how many? 5,000 people. And what? There's leftovers. I mean, we're not talking bad leftovers. We're talking good leftovers. There's 12 bushel bags full. Now, wouldn't you follow that person because of the miracle? You follow that person, you're going to end up on a cross. You follow that person, you're going to be reviled and spat upon. You follow that person, and there are going to be a lot of people who don't like you. Follow that person, and a lot of decisions that could be easy for you and your family, and they're not going to be made easy. It's not the wisdom of the age. It's the belief and faith in Christ Jesus. It's not the looking for miracles and looking for signs, because He's done those. He could perform those. But that's not what changes your life. Because if one miracle is performed, there's going to be another situation that happens tomorrow. And you're either believing Him in the tough times or you're not. You have faith in His authority over all of creation. That's all those miracles demonstrated, is that He was God. He's the Son of God. And He has dominion over life and death itself. The blind guy can't see. Little spit on the ground, rubs that on, and now he can see. The lame guy who can't walk, well, his four friends tear somebody's roof off. No pun intended to our roof. And lower him into, and Christ tells him to pick up his mat and go. It wasn't his faith, it was his friend's faith. He's walking through the street, a woman who's been bleeding for 12 long years, who's tried everything. She walks up and just touches the hem of his garment. He turns around and says, "Who touched me?" Come on. There's like hundreds of people here that you just walked through, and you're asking us to tell you who touched you? I mean, pick a person. That woman looks at him. He said, it's the faith of people that make you whole. It's the faith in believing in Christ being able to work miracles. Jews demand signs. Greeks desire wisdom. Aren't we the Greeks? We want wisdom. The word that's used there for wisdom is Sophia. You know, the sophists, the people that were intellectually brilliant and intelligent. Plato, Socrates, they could come up with a thought process and figure things out. The wisdom that we need, the wisdom of the age, is a wisdom that's beyond that. We proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolish Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. God's weakness is stronger than human strength. It's not human strength. It's not human wisdom. We can't figure it out. We got guys, people that are really, really smart say it all happened with a big bang. Yep. God spoke. Bang. And it happened. But it's not the comedy line. It's not the hilarity. It's God's grace and God's mercy. It's God's love and His power. And through that, everything that we don't understand right now will one day be revealed. That's something we can count on. That's something that we can put our lives on. Christ has died. Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. Hallelujah. Shalom. Our hymn of invitation is 295.